It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you're going to enjoy this morning's show. I'm going to catch up on a bit of news that and try to give some analysis of it. As you know, we're at a time of the year when there seems to be an awful lot of news about the UN and climate and other elements. And one thing that came across last week, which certainly caught my attention and many of us in the outdoor world, is this headline that ran in the New York Times, "Birds Are Vanishing from North America." And the under-the-banner headline, it said, "The number of birds in the United States and Canada has declined by 3 billion birds, or 29% over the past half century, scientists find." And any time you see a headline that says something has declined by 3 billion, it gets your attention. Certainly got mine. And so I began to do quite a bit of digging on this, and I think the direction of the headline is correct, is absolutely correct. We are seeing a collapse in bird populations across North America, and you often hear me talk about waterfowl and surveys and statistics and waterfowl populations actually overall are doing pretty well. They have not collapsed. Certain species, such as pintail and lesser scaup, are really seeing serious population declines. But overall, waterfowl populations are holding pretty steady. And some species, geese in particular, as is evident by looking around outside at all the parking lots and golf courses with geese, are increasing. But the overall bird population appears to be in free fall. And if you are an upland bird hunter, grouse and sharp-tailed grouse, ruff grouse, Hungarian partridge, quail, and pheasant, you know that these populations are in great decline. What we don't really understand is what is happening with billions of songbirds, why they are disappearing. We've certainly heard, and I've talked about, the decline in the butterfly population, the monarch butterfly population, and suddenly this bee syndrome collapse that seems to be occurring. This is just one more, this release of the leading ornithologists in North America, one more, if you will, alarm bell to say something is really wrong. And I'm not going to sit here this morning and defend whether 3 billion birds have declined over the past 25 years, whether that the number is 1 billion, whether the number is 100,000, 200 million, it's not the number. And I think one of the things we get lost in is the extrapolation of numbers and putting an absolute number on something that we likely don't have the database to come up with an absolute number. We can come up with estimates. But the direction is absolutely true. The number of birds flying around North America is in very serious decline. So the leading ornithologists in the world have penned that at 3 billion. And for decades, they have been using an army, as they call it in the article, of devoted amateur bird watchers, of which many of you may be. And there's the CBC, the Christmas Bird Count, that the Audubon Society has done for decades. A generation or more now, that's compiled annually the data on birds the same time of the year, the same locations throughout North America. So that is actually a data set from which they worked on. So 529 species of birds were analyzed between 2006 and 2015. They also employed weather radar to track bird populations. And the leading researcher on this from Cornell University, Dr. Rosenberg, counted birds recorded on radar at 143 weather stations across the United States from 2007 to 2018. And they focused on springtime scans when birds were migrating in the greatest numbers. They measured about a 14% decline during that period, which is consistent, according to them, with the recorded drop in the bird watching record. So call it 15%. So there are not two data sets showing the same thing, according to the Audubon Society, which was not involved in the study, but certainly which is raising the flag that there's a real problem here. The worst hit a group of birds were warblers. Their population dropped by something like nearly half. Blackbirds were also greatly diminished. And in addition to that, they were surprised to find that the drop occurred across so many species of birds after the introduction of certain kinds of pesticides that have been put into the agricultural landscape over the past decade. They did comment that Europe appears to be experiencing a similar decline in birds, although not as dramatic as North America. And if you're someone like me who spends a lot of time outside, I can't quantify the lack of birds. I just know there are fewer birds. And whether it's walking a golf course and you don't see many birds at all, or walking through woodlands, the number of birds has clearly declined. And this is the first time that an actual number has been put on that. So 3 billion birds less. Why? The study does not go into why the population is declining. It just goes into that the population appears to be in a very steep decline. So if you dig a little deeper, why might this be occurring, which I think we should do, the primary reason appears to be twofold. The loss of grasslands across much of North America in recent years, with the expansion of agriculture into regions where it previously did not occur. This is particularly true of the Great Plains and the prairies, which I spend a great deal of time talking about. As we have come up with varieties of corn and soybeans and other crops that are drought resistant, can tolerate shorter growing seasons, we have seen a rapid expansion of the Corn Belt north into the Dakotas and into southern Canada. The Dakotas are now part of the Corn Belt. There was no corn being grown there of any significance 20 years ago. So the plowing up of the grassland has clearly had an impact on so many grassland nesting birds, and the warbler being one of them. The other thing that has to be at play here is the increased use of pesticides. And I don't have a statistic to back this up. So for those of you who want to get mad at me for saying that, go ahead. I just have personal field observations, both in my own work in agriculture and also in my years of being a field hunting upland birds and watching birds. A good example would be a few years ago in Saskatchewan, there was a grasshopper outbreak of significant proportions, and it did tremendous damage to the wheat crop in across much of southern Saskatchewan. The next year, when farmers planted wheat, they added a new insecticide to it that basically killed all the grasshoppers. And that year, the sharp-tailed grouse and Hungarian partridge populations just collapsed. And they collapsed over an area of millions and millions of acres, just gone. Where you would see five or six coveys of Hungarian partridge in an hour's walk, you were lucky if you found one. Sharp-tailed grouse just collapsed. And everyone in Saskatchewan blamed the American hunters, and they changed the hunting regulations in Saskatchewan to limit hunting by Americans. That wasn't the cause of the decline in the sharp-tailed grouse and the Hungarian partridge. The cause of the decline was absolutely the use of this insecticide that killed the grasshoppers, which are a primary food source for young chicks. And if it's killing sharp-tailed grouse and it's killing Hungarian partridge, it's killing the insects that warblers and bobolinks and just all kinds of birds depend on. And it's not just limited to the prairies of Canada. These insecticides are being used across North America. So it's pretty well established by the leading scientists in the country that the population of birds is in free fall. They use the number 3 billion fewer birds over the past 15 years, a 15% decline. That's their number. They're the scientists. They should be correct. The rest of us may not be able to put an absolute number on it, but what we can clearly say is there are fewer and fewer birds in the air, flying around, migrating, and this is an indication, this is the canary in the coal mine, if you will, of what's happening with our environment. And as you know from listening to me for years, I'm not an environmental alarmist. I'm not one of those individuals who thinks the sky is falling. But I do think we have a serious problem with what is taking place due to the poisoning of our waters and due to the loss of our grasslands from the insecticides being used, the herbicides being used, and the expansion of agriculture, which we need to have agriculture, the expansion of agriculture into areas that are ecologically significant, into the vast grasslands of the North American prairie. This all comes together to paint a picture that we need to address, or that Silent Spring that Rachel Carson wrote about in the early 1960s, may be happening. And so this morning I simply am discussing the fact that there's now real data out there by the leading scientists in the world that we have a significant problem with the loss of bird life in North America. And the question is, now that we know about it, what are we going to do about it? I'll be back in just a moment with much more on the great outdoors. And when I do come back, I want to talk for a moment about the UN climate conference and just add maybe a bit of color on that may not have been added previously from a perspective of those of us who use the outdoors and love to hunt and fish. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet Dealers.
Every game, it's all on the line. Personal, one-on-one, head-to-head. You have to look for every advantage. Strength, speed, and power to win.
Dan Hampton knows when you're looking for a tough competitor, Chevy Silverado has every advantage. Silverado's Ecotec 3 V8 gets better mileage than Ford's F-150 EcoBoost V6. You heard it here. Plus, Silverado's trailering package delivers 12,500 pounds of towing capacity that guarantees hauling muscle. More power, better performance. That's the kind of advantage that wins games. And there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix Lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy than you ever imagined for less money. Your Chevy dealer knows what it takes to be a winner.
Take it from number 99. Chevy Silverado is an all-star. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Kick off the season right. Go for it.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And I mentioned before the break that I wanted to talk for a moment about the UN climate change report that came out this past week. It's actually from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And it talks about things that it now feels, it's this annual update, that it now feels will happen to the world's climate on the current trajectory we're on. And again, I pass this information on from the point of view of information and informing and discussion, not from the point of view of my necessarily having an opinion, because I don't think that's right for me to do. I think what's more important is to share the different sides of this. And there certainly are different sides. But the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says that 30 years from now, the 100-year flood events that are occurring around the world will actually become annual events by 2050 in much of the world. So some of us may be around to see that. And if we do, we actually will have the opportunity to find out if much of this climate science is correct. They are now saying within 30 years, the 100-year flood events that are occurring will now become annual flood events across much of the continent. They also, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has upped the rate of sea level rise to say that by 2200, so 80 years from now, the oceans will have risen by 10 feet. So in the next 80 years, the oceans are going to rise by 10 feet. That is a considerable increase in sea level rise over what had previously been reported. And that the warming oceans are going to absolutely wreck fisheries of the world. And so, excuse me, I made a mistake when I said this. They expect that, I got that wrong, they expect that by 2200, so 180 years from now, the oceans will have risen by 10 feet. And they expect that by 2100, 80 years from now, sea levels will have risen by 3 feet. So let me stand corrected on that. The report from the International Governmental Panel on Climate Change says a 3-foot sea level rise in the next 80 years and a 10-foot sea level rise in 180 years. Either way, that's, if they're right, that changes the world. Warming oceans are going to change fish species. If we think about the species that are really dependent on cold water, we think about cod, we think about salmon, we think about halibut. These cold water species could well go extinct, according to this panel's report. In fact, they expect that they might go extinct. Also, the report says that our oceans are going to become more acidic. We'll have less oxygen as they warm up, and as warm water holds less oxygen, they're going to be able to support less marine life. They predict the death of coral reefs around the world occurring in the lifetime of let's say, many people who are young today. And they basically have said the world before our eyes will not be what it is within the next 80 to 100 years. So it's the most dire projection yet from the UN panel on climate change. And I make mention of it, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, that's not the issue. The issue is that very respected people, much as I was talking about with ornithologists who talk about the loss of 3 billion birds, highly respected scientists are raising the alarm and saying that if we don't do something, this is what we predict is going to happen. Whether they're right or not, time is going to tell. But I would offer this morning that we should pay attention to what they're saying, and that, as I said for a long time, the things that we're doing in the world that are not healthy for our environment, we should find a way to stop doing them. And if we do that, we can mitigate some of the man-made things that are occurring with air pollution and water pollution. And whether all of that is leading to climate change or not is a debate that's far beyond any education or knowledge I have, but it is claiming the world's attention. You cannot turn on the news without hearing about climate change and seeing the predictions. So I think the debate is real, and I think we have to pay attention to it. And I would just offer that as a society, which I said for a long time, we should do the things that don't damage the future quality of life for those who are going to succeed us. And we have the ability to do lots of things here in America and to improve our quality of life. Just look at how much we've improved air quality over the past 40 years. Look at how much we've improved water quality. We did these things because we thought they were the right thing to do for our quality of life, because we didn't like seeing our rivers burning on fire, and we didn't like not being able to see the mountains, or in the case of even the city of Chicago, being able to see the skyline, or L.A. because of the smog. We did those things because we believed it would make our quality of life better. We didn't do those things because we thought the world's climate was changing. We knew nothing about it. We did them because it made a better quality of life. And I would offer that this whole climate change debate could better be framed in what about our quality of life? That's why we've made these enormous progresses we have over the past 40 and 50 years with the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act and all the things that have taken place. That would maybe be a better way to frame this, and while predictions may come true, we're living now, and we should live in the best environment in which we can. But certainly, this has been a week of really alarming news, if you will, coming from the UN and coming from ornithologists, and we ought to pay attention to it. Thanks so much for listening this morning. Hope you've enjoyed the Great Outdoors Show. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoors and maybe a little bit of a discussion on what I hope is an incredibly special time spent fishing in an incredibly special place. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week in the Great Outdoors. This is Charlie Potter.